This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll begin with verse 23. In the psalm that we just read, the psalmist points out a common mistake that is made by the wicked or people who are doing evil. And that is to have that feeling that God doesn't see. They act as though God doesn't know. They think that they can speak and utter their perverse things and God somehow doesn't hear. But the psalmist said, hey, don't you realize that the one who created man's ears can surely hear? The one who gave man the ability to see, surely he can see. He that gave us the capacity to know, surely he knows. The prophet Jeremiah in the 23rd chapter says much the same thing. Beginning with verse 23 of chapter 23, the Lord declares, am I not a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth? God speaks here of his omnipresence. He's everywhere. You can't hide from him. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? The beginning of the 23rd chapter here, the Lord speaks out against the pastors who were not faithful in feeding the flock of God on the word of God, but who were actually guilty of scattering God's sheep. And God pronounces his woe against such pastors, for they represented themselves to the people as being the spokesman for God. I'm here to represent God to you, to give to you God's word. But then they were speaking out of their own heart. They were laying upon the people their own concepts, their own ideas, their own thoughts. And because they wanted to be popular with the people, they were telling them the things that the people wanted to hear. Oh, it's all going to be beautiful. There's going to be peace and safety. No problem is going to take place here because surely you are the people of God and God is going to bless you. And they were comforting the people in their iniquity, when in reality, God's judgment was hanging heavy over their head and about ready to fall. And so God declares his anger against those people that would presume to speak in the name of the Lord things which God had not spoken. A common phrase among them in those days was the burden of the Lord. And they would go around with this phrase saying, "Oh, brother, the burden of the Lord is..." And then they would utter their own ideas, their own concepts. "Let me share with you, brother, the burden of the Lord for this place. Let me share with you the burden of the Lord for this hour." And God said to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, there's a phrase that those guys are using. I'm so sick of hearing it, I can't stand it. And Jeremiah, I don't want you to ever use that phrase again. And if you use the phrase, I vow I'll never speak to you again." It is that phrase, the burden of the Lord. He said, they're all going around saying, "The burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord." He said, "When I haven't laid any burden on them, I haven't been speaking to them, and yet they go around speaking for me." So don't use that phrase, the burden of the Lord. It just makes me sick to hear it. Going around sharing their dreams, going around sharing their visions, going around speaking enticing words unto the people, when God wanted the prophet to rebuke the people and to reprove them and to warn them that judgment was imminent. But that wasn't a popular message. The people didn't like to hear that. At this particular moment in history, when God thus spoke to Jeremiah concerning these dreamers who were telling their dreams, these men who were speaking falsely in the name of the Lord, the nation at that point was spiritually in the pits. It had really come to about the lowest ebb of its spiritual existence. People were following their own pleasures, living after sensual pleasure, looking for satisfaction through intellectual achievement. And through their pseudo-intellectual positions, mocking many of the concepts of God. Oh, doth God see? Does God really know? Is there really a God? And challenging the very God who had created them. It was a time where people were looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in possessions, trying to amass to themselves as much wealth and as many things as possible, thinking that through the physical prosperity they could find real peace and satisfaction in their lives. It was a time in which God testified of them, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've carved out for themselves cisterns that can hold no water." They had forsaken the truth of God and they had turned to lies. And they were seeking to find in these lies a place to rest. Mocking, ridiculing the servants of God, they gathered unto themselves men who purported to be prophets of God, who spoke pleasant, comforting things at a time when the nation was going down the tubes. They loved to hear the lies of the false prophets who were saying peace and safety. "Surely God will not judge you for your evil. Surely God wants to bless all of you and put a Cadillac in each of your garages. and give you all of the gasoline at cheap prices so you can drive your Cadillacs. It's going to be all right, folks. Things are going to get better. Days of prosperity are just around the corner. The people say, oh, tell me more, tell me more. When in reality, because of their wickedness and their evil, they were just about ready to be destroyed. The Bible tells us that the day is coming again when, because people don't want to hear the truth of God, God will allow them to believe a lie, will allow their delusions, and they will believe a lie rather than the truth. The nation at this particular point was just about gone. At this very moment, the armies of Babylon are already marching towards Jerusalem. They've crossed the Euphrates. They are on their way. The invincible armies of the Babylonian kingdom are coming in a siege against Jerusalem and the people of God. And yet, the prophets, false prophets, were saying, oh, no evil shall come to this place. Surely we are safe and secure. We've made our alliances with Egypt. We can trust in the Egyptian army to deliver us. We have all of our military strength, and surely nothing will happen to us. And yet Jeremiah was saying, thus saith the Lord, because of your wickedness and your sin, God is going to bring evil upon this place. You've been trusting in lies. You've been trusting in your false gods. You've been trusting in your material prosperity. You've been trusting in your educational systems. You've been trusting in your military strength, but it's all nothing, and the hand of the Lord is going to be with your enemies, and you're going to be defeated, and you're going to be driven out. And those that are in the fields will be slain by the sword, and those who seek refuge within the cities will soon be starving to death until the enemy comes and breaks down the walls of the city, and you'll be slain or carried away captive to Babylon. God is going to bring his judgment against you because you've turned your back upon God and you've been living for yourself and your own selfishness and your own selfish pleasures. And God's judgment is going to fall. Jeremiah was telling them the truth. They didn't want to hear it. They put him in the dungeon as they acclaimed the false prophets and publicized their words. It is a awesome thing for a man to stand and speak for God. It is an awesome responsibility to stand and to speak to people for God. James warns against such a thing. He said, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that you will receive the greater condemnation. Woe unto those prophets who speak out of their own hearts. Woe unto those prophets who say peace and safety when there is no real peace and safety. And God pronounces his woes and his judgments that are going to come not only upon the people, but those who are prophesying lies in the name of God. There are many men today who have taken upon themselves the title of minister. They purport to speak for God, But they tell you that you cannot really trust in the Bible. It isn't really a reliable document. That you can't really believe the stories of the Bible. They are only myths and fables, Jewish legends. That you cannot really trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. That we have to, by a new social order, bring the world into this new place of peace and prosperity and social justice and equity. Men who are purportedly speaking for God, telling you you can't trust God's word, what God has already told you. Men who speak of the dreams and the ambitions of their own minds and not really proclaiming the truth of God. And oh yes, they still mock at the prophets of God. In their interviews with the newspapers, they laugh and scoff at the idea of the coming again of Jesus Christ. And these prophets that would warn you that these are the last days. In Jeremiah's day, the people refused to hear the word of God. Had they given heed to God's word, Jeremiah said, even now God will still save you. If you'll just turn to the Lord, if you'll just forsake your idols, if you'll forsake your false worship, God will still work, God will still save, God will still deliver you. You can dwell safely in the land. God will destroy your enemies. But only if you turn to God with your whole heart and put away your idolatries and the false gods upon which you have come to rely. But the people wouldn't listen to God's word. Why wouldn't they listen to God's word? Because they didn't like being told what great sinners they really were. They didn't like being told that if they live after the flesh, they're going to die. They didn't like being told that God's judgment was going to come against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. They liked what the false prophets were telling them. That what you're doing is just fine. Surely God is gracious and God is loving and God is so kind and merciful. Surely He will not destroy the wicked. Surely He will not judge you for your sins. That God doesn't really care how you live. You can live after your flesh. You can live as you please. And surely God will accept you. He knows and understands. God really doesn't see. God really doesn't know. God really doesn't care. You can utter your filth. God doesn't hear. But God said, He that created the eye, does He not see? He that created the ear, can He not hear? But the false prophets were saying, oh, the talk about the devil and hell. Not real, that's just superstition believed by ignorant people. You don't have to worry about the future. God will not judge sin. People like to hear that. It gave them comfort in their evil actions. It helped them to sleep at night. Because they knew what they were doing was wrong, but they loved to be comforted in it. But they were fools. The false prophets were telling them lies. Soon the Babylonian army was surrounding the city, just like Jeremiah said. They were beginning to starve, just like Jeremiah said. And now the engines of war are battering down the walls, just like Jeremiah said. Now there's a Babylonian soldier in the door, a spear in his hand, just like Jeremiah said. And now their children are being dashed before their eyes, just like Jeremiah said, and God's judgment has fallen as they are in chains, being led back to Babylon as a captive, just like Jeremiah said. They've been listening to the dreams and the visions of the false prophets, but they were lies. They have been lulled into a sense of false security. And now, God's judgment, and they are destroyed. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, in writing to Timothy, gives to him a very solemn charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge those that are alive and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Timothy, I charge you before God, before Jesus Christ our Lord, that the day of judgment is coming, even as God's day of judgment is coming. I charge you, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap unto themselves teachers, for they will have itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Paul warns Timothy to be true to the word. Preach the word, Timothy. Not your dreams, not your visions, not your ideas, not your concepts. Preach the word. Rebuke, reprove, exhort. Be faithful to doctrine. Because the day is going to come when they will not really want sound doctrine. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll have itching ears, and they only want to hear those things that tingle or please their ears, their senses. There are many people today who want church as an entertainment. I desire to be entertained, so I go to church that I might listen. My itching ears might hear the glorious music and all of the entertainment. And church has become the entertainment center. And the churches have sought to accommodate these people by presenting a very entertaining program. Itching ears. They want the sermons to be masterpieces of eloquence that convict no one. And so the ministers have sought to accommodate them by developing a tremendous eloquence in the pulpit, talking of beautiful, pleasant things. Preaching sermons that have no convicting force behind them. Telling the people what they want to hear. It's all right to live after your flesh. It's all right to indulge your flesh. In fact, God might even help you. If you only have enough faith, God will help you to drive a Porsche. Or a Cadillac, or, you know, whatever you desire. For God is a giant Santa Claus. And people with itching ears are going. not feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit against the selfishness that would seek to amass to myself treasures while other people are going hungry around me. That would seek ministers that would say, it's all right to live after your own flesh, your own lust, your own desires. God will not judge. God does not care. God does not see. It does not concern God, or even worse, God will help you to do these things. There are people who have itching ears who run around to hear of dreams and of visions and of prophecies. They get more excited when someone stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, and gives a vision or a dream or some revelation that he has received from God. And oh, they get excited over these spectacular gifts that are operating. They're looking for miracles. They're looking for signs. And they won't endure sound doctrine. They're wanting to get the excitement and the tingle of some supernatural manifestation taking place within a service. But God said to Jeremiah, he that hath a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? And the Lord puts the dreams and visions in the category of chaff, where he puts his word in the category of wheat. What can you say of the chaff? It's worthless. It's all to be blown away. It is only the wheat that will nourish you and strengthen you and sustain you. It is a sign of spiritual degeneration when people get more excited over a vision or over a dream than they do the Word of God. There is soon to come upon the world scene a man who is going to be able to work all kinds of miracles. He's going to be able to persuade and sway people with his speech. There will be all kinds of supernatural phenomena accompanying this man's life. So powerful that many will be deceived, especially those who have been living after these things and looking after these things and following after these things. It's a dangerous thing to look after signs. We need to look to the Word. We need to become established in sound doctrine. Several years ago, at the beginning of Calvary Chapel, when we were still meeting in Costa Mesa down on Church Street, I had a luncheon engagement where I was to speak. I stopped by the church on the way to pick up the mail. And in the box was advertisement from one of these evangelistic hustlers that I had been somehow gotten on his mailing list, and every week or so I was receiving these advertisements of the visions that he was having, marvelous insights into what was going to be happening in the world. And all of this, you know, kind of junk you could send in, and for $5 you could get vision number one. For $8.95, numbers 1 and 2. For $15, visions number 1, 2, and 3, or whatever, you know, I mean, no, all 5, I think, for $15. But just junk mail. I'd wad it up and try to make 2. And so here was another one of these advertisements, you know. Is Kennedy the Antichrist? And, you know, God has revealed, you know, what's, you know, the new Pope and all this kind of stuff. And all these things, the visions, send me the $5, you know, and you get this, all of these marvelous revelations of God, visions that he had received. Wadded the thing up. I was in my car, I was heading up Newport Boulevard, no place to throw it. Didn't want to be guilty of tossing out the window. So I just set it down. And then I got to thinking, now God, I don't want to have a closed mind to you. And if you've really spoken by this fellow, and there's something that I really should know, need to know, God, I want to be open. I want to just remain open to you, Lord. And, you know, I'll venture $5 if you've really got something to say to me. Lord, it's worth $5 to hear if there's something I really need to know. And, you know, the Lord began to speak to me very clearly. In fact, it was so clear and so moving that I had to pull off Newport Boulevard and just park for a little bit. And God spoke to me and said, "He that hath a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord?" Man, I couldn't drive for a while. Wadded the thing back up. What is the chaff to the wheat? God has given to us his word. We don't need any new revelations. We don't need any new visions or dreams. What we need to do is be established, firmly established in God's revealed truth. Somebody comes to me wild-eyed and said, "Oh, Chuck, last night an angel sat on my bed right there and he was glowing. And oh, he told me these wonderful things. Let me tell you what the angel told me." Well, go ahead. Tell me what the angel told you. "Oh, the angel told me that the Lord's coming next Tuesday. Oh, I'm so excited, next Tuesday." I'd say, "Ah, come on, get off of it. That's no angel talking to you. No man knows the day or the hour." See, God, there's no angel going to tell you anything that's apart from God's word. So whatever anything like that tells you, you've got to measure it to the word of God. You can't just accept it. You had a vision, you had a dream. You've got to measure it to the word of God. God's not going to tell you anything that's different or apart from his word. "Oh, I've had a new revelation. This is a new truth." You don't need a new truth. You need a new experience in the old truths. He that hath a dream, go ahead and tell your dream. Probably won't understand anyhow. But he that hath the word, let him speak God's word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat? Oh, it's tragic that people are going around trying to eat chaff. You ever gotten chaff in your mouth? You know, it won't dissolve. It stays just, well, it'll choke you when you try and swallow it. You know, we have fresh wheat. When I was a kid, we used to always take chicken feed and pull the wheat out, chew it until it turns to gum. It used to be fun. But a lot of times you pull the wheat out, it still has chaff on it. Oh, man, that's bad stuff. It doesn't get soft. It just gets grainier all the time you chew it. You know, you finally have to just spit. It's just no good. Chaff. God says, what's the chaff to the wheat? Oh, may God establish you in his word, in his truth, in the wheat, that you might be strong, that you might grow, that you might be nourished. Stay in the word. God has spoken. It's up to us to listen. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for your word, forever established. Heaven and earth pass, but Lord, not your word. Thank you that you have honored your word even above your name. Help us, O God, that we will be faithful to thy word, obedient to thy word, trusting in thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. When God speaks, you would think that the whole world would want to listen. But such is not the case, because many of the things that God says are not comforting to my flesh, but they're antagonistic to my flesh. And thus, I often don't like to hear what God has to say, because it is reproving me or rebuking me or warning me against living after my flesh. But oh, it's so important that I do listen to the word of God and that I hearken to the word of God. May God speak to you through his word this week. Get into the word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. Let God's word minister to you. For you can only grow in your spiritual walk and life through the word. You cannot grow on experiences. You cannot grow by observing spiritual phenomena. They can excite you, but they will not help your growth. You can only grow as you feed upon God's word in a true spiritual growth in your life. This is the basis. This is the food whereby you grow. And so may you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as you give God's word a place in your life this week, that it might minister strength, help to you. In Jesus' name.